Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Last week we talked on the topic of prayer. And why we should be praying more, right? Two of the reasons we gave for praying more is the sovereignty of God and the immutability of God. And really, it goes along with what I've been saying here this morning. The sovereignty of God means that God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Amen? Right? And if He is the supreme ruler of the universe, that means He can do something about what we are praying for. Amen? How many believe God can do something about what you're praying for? So we're praying to a God not only who can answer prayers, but we're praying to a God who does answer prayers. All right, let me see a show of hands in this room. How many people here God has ever answered a prayer for you, whether it's big or small? Has He ever answered a prayer for you? Keep your hand up. Look around the room. Look around the room. Those are answered prayers. That's something to praise God about. Somebody praise the Lord, right? Whether it's big or small. He is a God that is proof that He is a God that answers prayers. We are all living, moving, breathing testaments and proof that He answers prayers. The second reason, that's the sovereignty of God. The second reason we said we should be praying more is the immutability of God. What does that mean? It means the fact that God cannot change. And I explained this last week, and I'll do it briefly, real quick again. But the immutability of God, when we say God cannot change, we mean that God cannot change His nature. He cannot change His character, who He is. He can change His mind. And guess what affects that sometimes? We talked about it. Prayer. When people stand in the gap, take up the hedge, and pray. God relents. We used example after example last week with Moses and different people. But God can change His mind, but He can't change who He is. He cannot change His character. He is and will always be good. He is and will always be kind. He is and will always be merciful and gracious. He is and will always be loving and forgiving. He cannot change that. That is who He is, right? And so He can and always will be everything we need. Can I get an amen? All right, so a couple weeks ago, it was actually the night of the election, Tuesday night of the election. I was sitting around. We were at the Stanley's house. The Worthies came over, and we were all sitting around talking. And Brittany actually brought up a question to me, a topic and a question about Moses and the burning bush. And I remember I was trying to answer that question about Moses, but it reminded me, and I mentioned this to them, it reminded me of something that happened to me several years ago that was really a God moment in my life that I experienced, okay? And I want to share that. I've shared that once here, and I'm going to share it again. But several years ago, it was in 2018, I was sitting at the house on a Friday night, and I was doing what a lot of us do when we don't have anything to do on a Friday night. I was sitting there scrolling on my phone on social media. Y'all got quiet because y'all know I know I just hit home. Y'all scroll a lot. All right, so I was scrolling, and as I was scrolling on social media, I came across a live stream service, church service that was happening on a Friday night in Florence, Kentucky. And it was Heritage Fellowship Church, where Pastor Clady Keith pastors, okay? Now, I'm familiar with Pastor Clady Keith. That's how I had the church as a friend and stuff like that. Pastor Clady had been to East Calhoun during the years of revival. He had ministered there on different occasions. And so I had different connections seeing and knowing him. But I'm here. I'm watching this. This is his church. This is his live stream service. And if you know anything about Heritage Fellowship and Clady Keith, they do not get in a hurry at all. But I caught my eye, started watching it, didn't even know why I was watching it. But here they were, and they were just kind of pressing in, right? And there were several times as I watched this service taking place that I was ready to just scroll on. Ready? Okay, I've seen enough. So I was getting ready to scroll on. Every time I wanted to scroll on, I just felt like this check. Don't do it. But I was ready to go because I'm like, I don't even know why I'm watching this. I've already been watching it a while, and nothing really crazy is happening, right? But every time I started to, several times I started to go, and I'd get a check, and I'd scroll back down. But it really wasn't until about an hour and 51 minutes into this video. I'd have watched it an hour and 51 minutes. And every time I was like, you know, I didn't even know why I was watching it. Hour and 51 minutes. And I remember because I saved the video, but I at that moment I realized why I was watching. Because Pastor Clady had got up there and he had the mic. He was walking around. He was talking. He really wasn't even preaching a sermon. He was just talking about moves of God. He was talking about manifestations of the Spirit he had seen and so forth. And just as he's walking and talking, right in the middle of it, he just stops. And he turns and he points at the camera. And I get emotional every time because I know it was so real. He points at the camera and he says, "There's a young pastor watching right now." Now, in 2018, I still considered myself young. 2024, I still consider myself young. But he said, "There's a young pastor watching right now." And he said, when he said it, I remember like, it was like somebody punched me in the gut. And I was like, I know this is why I'm watching at this moment. He's talking to me. I knew it, beyond a shadow. You ever been there? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you knew the Lord was talking to you. I knew the Lord was talking to me. He said, "There's young pastors watching right now." And he said, "You're having hints of a move of God at your church. But when God moves, I want you just to keep preaching the great things of the Bible. Just keep preaching the Bible. You don't have to try to manufacture revival. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. Don't get caught up in emotionalism. Don't get caught up in manifestations. Just preach the word." And God spoke to me at that moment. He said, "Andrew, if you'll preach my word, I'll bring the revival you long for. If you'll just preach the word. Don't try to manufacture it. Just preach it, and you'll see revival take place because there's enough power in the word to transform and change lives." Right? And I'm honest with you, that's been my motivation ever since. It was before, but it just lit a fire under me to preach the word. I have a fervent desire to preach the word of God. Everything within me, I want to preach the word of God. That's something I would say each and every week would spark something in you to revival. To revive something in you, to reveal something in you, for you to grow closer and know more of the Lord that we serve. So I have a fervent desire to preach the word and to, as I preach, not just to you but to myself, for it to stir our hearts and our lives to faith, to believe God for the great things we read in the Bible, for us to see them again today. Amen? To stir our hearts to faith. Because as I said earlier, he changes not. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's ever done it once, he can do it again. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? If he's ever done it once, he'll do it again. If he ever parted a Red Sea that man thought he could not cross, can I tell you this morning he can do it again? Does anybody believe that? If he ever brought down walls that stood in the way of your promise, do you not think through your praise, because their shouts brought down the walls of Jericho, do you not think that through your praise, through your worship, he can bring the walls down again that divides you from the promise? If he's ever stood in the fire with somebody, like he did the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they were not consumed, they were not burned up, they didn't even have the smell of smoke. If he stood with them through that, and if he walked through them with that, and he walked out of them with that, do you not think he could walk through your fiery trial too? He can do it again. If he's ever healed the sick, if he's ever made the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf ears hear. If he's ever set the demonic free, if he's ever given joy to the depressed, if he's ever given peace to the troubled mind, how many know that he can do it again? He can do it again. I know there's been times in my life where I felt joyless and he gave me joy. I felt hopeless and he gave me hope, right? If he's ever saved a soul from the pits of hell, how many know he can save your family members? If he saved you, he can save them. If he's ever reached down into a pit and pulled somebody out, he can do it for. He can do it again. He can do it for you. Amen? Just turn to your neighbor and say, he'll do it again. Give him a high five. I feel pumped. Tell him again. He'll do it again. I want to talk to you this morning about one of the great things of the Bible. I want to talk to you about the burning bush. The burning bush. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can go to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read the first eight verses of Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 8. This is what it says. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay. What a sight that must have been to behold. Think about this. Moses has become a shepherd later in his life. He's become a shepherd in the land of Midian in the desert. And Moses sees this burning bush. Now, I want to remind you, this is Moses who, as a baby boy, was put into a basket and set into the Nile River and sent floating down the river because Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had issued a decree that any Hebrew, any Israelite boys, baby boys that were born, when they come out of the womb, they were to be murdered. Right? There's that same spirit that's still trying to take over the world today and kill our babies, right? But it said, hey, everyone, every male Hebrew boy that is born, he charged the midwives, said, if it's a Hebrew boy, you kill it as soon as it comes out of the womb. Well, Moses' mother, she took Moses, she conceived, she gave birth to Moses, and she knew if he was found that they would kill him. So what she did is she put him in a basket and sent him floating down the river, where I believe she knew that he would be found. And guess what? He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Right? The king of Egypt himself. And Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in and raised him as her own son. So he was raised in the wealth and he was raised in the education of Egypt, which was at that time the most powerful country in the world. So Moses wanted or needed nothing that was not at his disposal because he was given that position and he was given that resources as a adopted grandson of Pharaoh. But even with everything that Moses had, as he grew, he still knew something wasn't right. He still, even with all the resources he had, he still knew that something was missing. He had wealth. He had education. He had authority. He had power. He had popularity. But that did not fill the void that was still on the inside of his heart because it was a God-sized void. And so one day the Bible tells us, Moses sees a fellow Hebrew that is being smitten, the Bible says, by an Egyptian. And so Moses comes to their defense, and he takes up arms against that Egyptian, and he kills that Egyptian in defense of this other Israelite. And then Moses has to flee from Egypt in fear for his life. There was a decree, because he killed another Egyptian, he had to die. And so he had to flee Egypt in fear for his life. And so now where we're reading at, Moses has come. He ended up in a place called Midian in the desert. He ends up getting married to a young lady whose father's name is Jethro. And so Moses is out here tending to the flocks in the desert, but not just the desert, the backside of the desert, right? So Moses went from the palace in Egypt to the desert in Midian. It was just mid. My younger people, is that still a word? Like, is that good with y'all? Mid? It's just mid? All right. He was mid, right? So he from the palace in Egypt to the Midian desert. Anybody ever felt like you went from the palaces in life to the deserts of life? Anybody here? Am I the only one? Y'all communicate with me. You ever felt like you went to the desert place, right? But listen, this is what I want to encourage you with. Moses going from the palace to the desert was exactly where God wanted Moses at that time. It's exactly where he wanted him, because there was a life-changing encounter that God wanted to have with Moses and introduce him to his presence. All right? And so let me just remind somebody here this morning what you feel might be like. Is now you're going through a downgrade and you're going through a letdown, but it is actually God just setting you up for the greatest moments of your life. Because that's what this was. It was a setup for Moses for the great things God wanted to do in his life. So what do you do in the meantime when you go from the palace to the middle of or the backside of the desert? What do? You tend to God's sheep and you look for that moment. That's what Moses was doing. He was tending to his sheep, but when he saw the moment, he was drawn to it. He didn't dismiss it. So now many of us, we've heard the stories of Moses. We've heard all the great things that he's done. You know, we hear the story of Moses going to Pharaoh and standing before the king of Egypt and say, God says, let my people go. We hear the stories of how God brought the plagues and the wonders, and we hear the story of the parting of the Red Sea. We hear about water coming from a rock for them to drink in the middle of a desert. We hear about and we preach about manna from heaven and all the provision God provided. We talk about the Ten Commandments, all these great and wonderful things. But before any of that took place, there was a call that came to Moses through a burning bush on the backside of the desert. On the backside of the desert. Now, with everything I just said, it's easy to say, hey, Moses' life was nothing less than extraordinary. Amen? There's a Christian author, old Christian author. His name's Isaac Massey Haldeman, okay? He was a Christian author, and he actually was a Baptist preacher during the Civil War. He wrote several books. One of the books he wrote is called How to Study the Bible. He wrote a book on how to study the Bible. But this is what he says about Moses in that book, How to Study the Bible. He says, the life of Moses, and I'm quoting him, the life of Moses presents a series of striking antitheses. He was a child of a slave, but he was the son of a queen. He was born in a hut and yet lived in a palace. He inherited poverty and yet enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies and yet the keeper of flocks. He was the mightiest of warriors and the meekest of men. He was educated in the court and yet dwelt in the desert. He had the wisdom of Egypt and yet the faith of a child. He was fitted for the city and yet wandered in the wilderness. He was tempted with the pleasures of sin and yet endured the hardships of virtue. He was backward in speech and talked with God. He had the rod of a shepherd but the power of the infinite. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh but he was an ambassador from heaven. He was the giver of the law, but the forerunner of grace. He died alone on Mount Moab and appeared with Christ in Judea. That was the Mount of Transfiguration, right? No man assisted in his funeral, yet God buried him. The fire has gone out in Mount Sinai, but the lightning is still in his law. His lips are silent, but yet his voice still speaks. I thought that was such a poetic way of talking about the life of Moses and just the way Moses, everything that happened in Moses' life and that he experienced. So needless to say, the life of Moses is worth looking into and reading and studying about. But today I want to talk about one aspect, Moses and the burning bush. Now, what we read in the first part of Exodus chapter 3 right here is that Moses is tending to the flocks. He's tending to the sheep on the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God that they call Horeb. Okay? And it says that as he was tending to the sheep, Moses looks, and behold, something caught his eye, right? He sees a bush that was burning with fire, but this bush was not being consumed. Anybody ever had a campfire? Right? You throw a bush on that fire, what happens? It burns up. But Moses would know this, right? They didn't have electricity then. They used fire. He knew that the bush should be consumed, but something caught his eye. He sees this bush on fire, but the bush is not being burnt up. It's not being consumed. And so as he was checking this thing out, he's like, man, this is crazy, y'all. Look at this sheep. And they're like, man, 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 man. You know? He's like, it's not being burned up. He had nobody else to talk to, I guess. He's just talking to the sheep, right? Yeah, Moses. No, I'm just kidding. All right. He's like, look, it's being burned up. And all of a sudden he hears a voice, Moses, Moses. God is calling to Moses through the bush, and Moses' reply is perfect. You know what he says? Here I am. Here I am. Now, what I want us to get a hold of right now is that this bush was not God, right? It wasn't, but the bush was not God, but God chose to use this bush to speak through. He chose to use that bush as a vessel. And so if you go and you study that a little bit, according to the Jewish rabbinistic tradition, and some of the Babylonian Talmuds that are written about the history of Moses. This is outside of the Bible. But they say that the desert bush that God spoke through and engulfed with holy fire was the lowest and thorniest thorn bushes of the desert. It is actually said traditionally that these types of bushes were so thorny that if a bird landed in this bush and it tried to fly away and tried to escape the bush, that it would literally cut and tear the bird's flesh, right, as it tried to fly away. So this is what I want you to understand. This was not the most appealing bush. It wasn't the most welcoming bush, but it was the bush that God chose, right? I believe that the burning bush, as God used it to speak to Moses, it showed Moses three things. And it shows us three things. That's my 3 points I want to give you today. Here's the first one. The first one that it showed Moses is that God will preserve us. God will preserve us. The burning bush showed Moses that God, first and foremost, had not forgotten him or his people. That he was with them in their trials and tribulation. And that he heard their prayers. And guess what it should tell us as we talk about it today? That it reminds us that God is with us, he has not forgotten us, and he's heard every one of your prayers. It has not fallen on deaf ears. God is reminding Moses that he was with him and that he was with the Israelites in the flames of destruction, and that even though they may be in the middle of flames of destruction, that they would not be burned up, but that he would preserve them. He would preserve them. The burning bush was more than just a burning bush, but there was a message within the spectacle of the burning bush itself, and it spoke and it testified to God's persevering power in the midst of what seems like destruction. That's why many times in Scripture, Egypt was referred to as the iron furnace. That's what they call Egypt a lot of times. I'll give you the Scriptures, Deuteronomy 4:20. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance as you are this day. 1 Kings 8:51, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace. Jeremiah 11:4, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so you shall be my people and I will be your God. God was showing and saying to Moses, I am with you. I'm with you. I am with my people still, even in the midst of what you are facing. I am still with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just know that I'm here. The next thing God says is, I've heard their cries. I've heard their cries. God has heard their prayers. Guess what? God has heard your prayers. The next thing he says is, I know their sorrows. He knows how you feel. He knew how they felt. They'd been there for a while. They were slaves to the Egyptians. He knew. He was not put off by the way they felt. He knew how they felt. He knew their emotions. He knew everything about them. I know that. I believe the Lord would say, have me say to you here to this day, he sees your pain. He knows where you're at. But he's heard every prayer. But this is the part that should really get us all excited, because this is what he said to them next. So I have come down to deliver them. I have come down to deliver them. I speak over every person in this house this morning. The Lord is getting ready to deliver you from everything that tries to destroy you. If you receive it, just give the Lord a hand clap. So first the burning bush showed Moses, no matter how thorny or dangerous things could get, no matter how hot the fire or how high the flames could get, Yahweh would be with us. He would preserve us, okay? Secondly, this is what it showed Moses. God loves humility. God loves humility. And I use this scripture a lot. Over the past probably 3 years, I've used this scripture more than any other scripture, I think, because I've talked a lot about pride and different things. But there's a reason behind it. It's a great scripture. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Let's read it. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Here's the kicker. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, I don't know about you or anybody else in this room, but this is what I know about Andrew Height. Andrew Height needs the grace of God in his life. Andrew Height gets in his own way time and time again, and I need the grace of God at work in my life, and I don't want to do anything that would create a resistance to that. But you know what that does, according to the Word of God? Being proud, pride, being selfish, that literally creates a resistance to God's grace. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I believe Moses understood this when he was seeing this lowly desert bush being used, and that's why the Bible says in Numbers 12, verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was humble. Listen, I'm sure Moses had some pride in his life. We all do. Especially Moses being raised in the royalties of Egypt. But how many know that going from the palaces of Egypt to the backside of the desert for 40 years will humble a man? It'll humble a man. Right? Anybody ever ate a big old piece of humble pie? Whew! You would think it tastes good when we call it pie, but it don't. You almost choke on it most of the time, right? I've almost choked on some humble pie a lot of times, but I had to be humbled, right? And so Moses probably had some pride in his life, but that 40 years in the wilderness would humble a man. They said it took about 40 hours for Moses to get out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. 40 years in the desert place, the backside of the desert. And now, but here he is, and God is calling to him through this burning bush, and he's saying, Moses, Moses, I am the I am, the great I am, and I am using this little lowly bush right now, but Moses, I want to use you. I'm calling to you. I'm calling you by name. God was saying to Moses through this burning bush, I am that I am, and I'm calling out to you. I am that I am. I can take that staff, that shepherd's staff that's in your hand. If you'll throw it on the ground, I'll turn it into a serpent. Pick it back up again. It'll be a staff. Moses did so. He saw it. I'm the great I am. Moses, the I am's calling out to you. Stick your hand inside your coat. He sticks his hand inside his coat, comes out. He's got a leprous hand. He says, okay, stick it back in. He sticks it in, brings it back out. His hand's made whole again. He said, I can do this. I, with all my wonders, the great I am, I will tell Pharaoh, I'll convince Pharaoh eventually to let my people go. But right now, I'm calling out to you. I'm telling you who I am. I'm calling you by name, Moses. I'm calling out to you. Moses, I know that you're slow to speak. You have a stuttering tongue. I know, Moses, that when I send you, they may look at you and they may count you out. They may even laugh in your face. I know that I'm sending you with a shepherd's staff to a king of a mighty nation who has armies and weaponry at his disposal. I know that I'm sending you to do what seems like the impossible, but I specialize in making those things possible. I know you don't feel worthy, Moses, but I am sending you. I'm sending you. Just as I chose to use the humble bush, I choose to use a humble person. And you've been humbled these past 40 years, so I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you. The past 40 years, Moses, in this wilderness, it's only been preparation for this moment. The wilderness has humbled you so that I can exalt you, so you can glorify my name in all the earth. My name is Yahweh. I am the great I am. Yeshua, the God who saves. Yahweh who saves. That's who I am. I'm everything you want me to be and everything you need me to be. I am that I am. But I'm calling right now. The great I am is calling out to you. Can I tell you this? He wanted to use Moses, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you. But first, we have to humble ourselves. Otherwise, we are creating a resistance to his grace in our lives. We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble some of the things we want to hold on to. We have to humble ourselves and say, God, if you say give it, I'll give it. If you say do it, God, I'll do it. You want me to apologize to them? I didn't do anything wrong. They're the ones that wronged me. But if you say do it, I'll do it. We have to humble ourselves. We have to swallow our pride and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God so in due time he can lift you up. Right. So the burning bush shows us that God will preserve us. Secondly, it shows us that God loves humility and will work with that, but pride will resist his grace. And then thirdly, I believe that God speaking to Moses through the bush in the desert showed Moses this. I preached a whole message titled this one time. Any old bush will do. Any old bush. Somebody say that. Any old bush will do. Any old bush. I put old, not like old, because I'm not old. Any old bush, right? Any old bush will do. Listen, this was considered the lowest of all desert vegetation, right? The desert is already really an unwanted and undesirable place. Can I get an amen? Right? All right. But then on top of that, to be considered the lowest of the lowest in the desert, that's a whole nother level. Right? Yet it was this lowly desert bush that was used to call out to Moses in what is one of the greatest moments in history and in God's word. It was the most uninviting bush that God could have chosen in that area, yet he chose to use it and invite Moses and the children of Israel into a promised land. I believe, whoever, y'all can come. I believe God was not saying, or was not just saying to Moses, but he was showing Moses through the burning bush, if I can use this bush, I can use you. If I can use this bush, I can use anything. I can use that staff in your hand. I can use just your hand itself. I am the great I am. I can use anything, right? I know that we're about a week and a half away from Thanksgiving. But is it all right if I tell you what I'm thankful for this morning? Can I just tell you what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that any old bush will do. Man, I'm thankful for that. Any old bush will do. I am thankful for the amazing grace of God that, as the writer wrote, that would save a wretch like me. Save a wretch like me. I'm thankful that God doesn't call the qualified, but those he called is already qualified. Many are called, but the chosen are few. What's the difference in being called and being chosen? When you hear your name called, do you answer? Here I am. That makes you chosen when you respond. I'm thankful that God uses the weak things to show the world mighty things. I'm thankful. This is on all our t-shirts. I think about it all the time. Romans 11:5, I'm thankful that even so at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of God's grace. I'm thankful that he's not a respecter of persons. If he can use a bush in the desert, if he can use Moses, who has a stuttering, stammering tongue, if he can use me, he can use you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and every single one of us in this room. I'm thankful that any old bush will do. If y'all are thankful for that, would you just stand to your feet? One more thing I want to say. It's the last thing I want to say. When he calls out to you, when he calls out to you, will you answer? Will you respond with availability? Availability. The Lord called to Moses from the bush and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses' response was, here I am. You know what Moses was saying at that moment? He's saying, I'm available. Here I am. Lord, you called? Here I am. I'm here, and I'm available. Listen, Moses could have saw that burning bush, and he could have seen that it was not being burned up. And he could have been like, man, this is weird. This is some crazy stuff going on. That's cool, but I'm out of here. Peace out. Catch y'all later. Catch you on the flip side. That's crazy. On top of that, listen, if the spectacle of the bush not being burned up was not enough, when there was a voice that started calling his name from a burning bush, Moses could have said, okay, this is way too weird. I'm out of here. Hightailed it through the desert. Right? But Moses didn't run from what he thought was out of the ordinary. But this is what he did. He said, God, if that's you, here I am. I'm available. I want to tell you something. I feel strong to say this. Just because something is not what you're used to in church, or not what you're used to from the denomination you came from, right? Just because it's something that you're not used to, don't dismiss it. Now listen, we judge things rightly by the word of God. But just because it's out of the ordinary, you better not just dismiss it, because God did. Go read this Bible time and time again. He did extraordinary things, supernatural things, and it was him moving in a miraculous way. So don't dismiss it. When God calls you out by name, no matter where you're at, when you have a burning bush experience and you know that he's talking to you, when the preacher is preaching or the people are singing and it's speaking directly to your heart or your situation, and you hear your name in that and you know God is speaking to you, do not dismiss it. You say, here I am. I'm available. You could be the next Moses he's wanting to use. Oh, but Andrew, you don't understand. I'm not used to speak in front of people. I can never be used for that. I'm not used to do these great mighty things. I'll do that. You don't, listen, don't dismiss God's plans for your life because you lack confidence in yourself. Put your confidence in him. Don't dismiss when he calls you by name. I feel like he's calling people by name this morning. And he's saying to people, I know where you've been. I've seen you going through it for some time, just like the Israelites. I've seen you going through it, but I've not left you. I've not abandoned you to your situation, but I'm here and I'm coming down to deliver you. I will help you persevere through it all. That's what he's saying to you. If you're going through it, know that you'll persevere through it all. Know that you have a God that has persevering power. Number two, you got to humble yourself before him. You got to humble yourself and say, if you say give it up for the greater things, I'll give it up. I'll give it to you. If you say do this, I'll do it. It's not about me. It's all about you. Whatever it is he's speaking to you in your life, whatever he's telling you to do, you got to humble yourself and do it. You got to humble yourself and do it. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't put a resistance of his grace in your life because you're too proud, too prideful. Swallow your pride and let God exalt you in due time. Humble yourself before him. Number three, right? Just going over my points again. Know that he can use you. Know that he wants to use you. Every single person has a call in their life, and if there is anything I would want people to understand is that God has a call and a purpose for your life. He has an anointing. It may not be to stand behind a pulpit or sing on a stage, but maybe he's just calling you to a greater thing outside of the church walls. Maybe he's calling you to be a great witness and a great light and salt right there in the middle of your workplace because he's put you in a position where there's many lost people and he's like, I need you right there in that moment. Moses probably thought going from the palace to the desert, why am I even here? But it was a moment, it was a God moment he set up for him so he could introduce him to greater things. God is wanting to introduce you to greater things. Don't dismiss when he calls your name. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes. I'm going to give you a simple call. If you know him, but he spoke to you through this message and you hear your name being called through it because it spoke to any area of your life, when they sing, I want you to come. Maybe you don't know him at all, but there's something on the inside of you that says, I know God's calling my name today. Don't dismiss it. Come. Do not miss out on what God has for you today, a burning bush experience. He wants to spend some time with you. He told Moses, he said, hey, don't come too close, but kick off your shoes. You're on holy ground. He said, hey, you know what he was saying? This is how I take it. This is Andrew's interpretation. Moses, sit here. Let's chat a while. I want to tell you all the great things I have in store for you. Come sit in my presence for a little. Sometimes the Lord just wants us to come sit in his presence. Kick off our shoes and stay a while, but we're always in a hurry to get out the door. That's not a condemning thing. I know people have to go. You got different things. But when's the last time you just kicked off your shoes and spent some time with the Lord in his presence? Some people, he's just calling for that. He's like, it's been too long. You need to come spend some time with me. Let me tell you about the great things I still have in store for you. So as they sing, will you make yourself available? Here I am. If the Lord spoke to you, would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.